I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Scott Schell, who is Chief Medical Officer at IT consulting and services firm Cognizant. We're going to be discussing considerations involving AI-enabled medical devices. So, Dr. Schell, as you know, in early January, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued non-binding draft guidance for artificial intelligence-enabled medical devices. The guidance covers a range of pre-market and life cycle management considerations that apply to developers and manufacturers of medical devices with one or more AI-enabled device software functions that incorporate machine learning, deep learning, and neural networks, as well as other types of AI. What stands out to you about this draft guidance as it relates to AI-enabled medical devices and why?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question, and the time is exactly right to be talking about it, since we are truly being saturated with healthcare implementations and opportunities around AI. For me, Marianne, the draft guidance really represents an extension of the existing 510K guidance for software as medical devices. And this is an area where I've actually created assets and been the registrant for facility and gotten these approvals. And I think the timeliness of this draft guidance is very important because it signals that the agency is now ready to sort of embrace some of the unique characteristics about AI that differ from other software-based health tech. And specifically focusing, I think, on some of the issues involving large language model, which, as you know, accumulate and learn massive amounts of data, some of which are hosted outside of the typical boundaries that we think of in healthcare or health tech environments. And so I think this is a good opportunity to focus on decision-making versus decision support capabilities, because as you know as well, clinicians are not ready to let the AI make the decision to basically invoke the next care action for their patients.
With that said, this guidance is just draft guidance and it's non-binding. What should AI-enabled medical device makers and other health tech firms, including smaller companies, glean from this document then in terms of their product development and life cycle planning moving forward and why?
Yeah, and I think that's a really important business strategy questions for all types of health tech developers, large or small. Draft guidance is, as you say, just draft guidance. But if you look at what the, in my opinion, the FDA has done historically, draft guidance ends up being a pretty useful signal as to what to expect the full and permanent guidance to be. What's the takeaway? I think if you're in this space and you have IP or innovation around this kind of med tech, then you really need to be thinking about every stage of concept, design, data systems integration, testing, and validation. And all of this should be conducted in the context of this draft guidance. I don't actually think it's a large lift because it really represents an extension of so much that we're already doing.
So now the guidance emphasized the need for manufacturers to address cybersecurity issues in both pre-market submissions to the FDA and then in the life cycle management of AI-enabled medical devices. When it comes to cybersecurity issues involving AI-enabled medical products, what risks and threats stand out to you and why?
Yeah, that's a great follow-on question. I'll just start by saying that the traditional HIPAA-based security protocols and compliance really go a great way towards addressing the cybersecurity requirements of software as medical devices implementations, and I think this is going to also encompass AI. As I sort of alluded to a bit earlier, AI is unique in its dependency on massive data sets. And these frequently will include public or public-hosted models, the large language models. And while these can be included in HIPAA-safe environments, the concern is since that some of these data are potentially in part of large language models that might reside outside of the typical HIPAA health environment, There's the concern that protected health information and other secure health data could be breached. And again, if looking at it from a cybersecurity perspective, you're also worried that someone might try and drill into these large language model resources to see if they can glean any useful, identifiable information about people.
So now the FDA is collecting public comment on this draft guidance until April 7th. Any predictions on what we might see in the next iteration of the guidance, especially considering that the guidance was issued by the FDA in the final days of the Biden administration, but the next steps at the FDA will be under the Trump administration? Any major changes that you think we might see and why?
I think it seems to me rather unlikely that the public comment period is going to really materially change the FDA's position or really potentially illuminate any novel concerns. Public comment is very useful because it allows academics, people in industry, interested stakeholders to make comments. And since it's public, regular people who aren't any of those can come and share their thoughts as well. As I interact with my peers and colleagues in this space, Marianne, it seems to me that we really are very much aligned on the same topics that we've been discussing: ensuring the integrity of the large language models, making sure that the process integrates these new compliance, even in draft requirements from the FDA. And I really just don't foresee that there's going to be any significant voice that is going to be contrary to those core principles.
So, what else are you watching closely when it comes to AI in healthcare and why?
That's a great question. And really, this has come to the fore in my sphere of interest and expertise, Marianne, and literally in the last month. And that's what's called multi-agentic AI. And if you talk about this in sort of non-healthcare circles, people sort of shriek and joke about Skynet being activated. But I think in healthcare circles, it really excites me a lot. And so when I say multi-agentic AI, what do I mean? What that translates to is that you have an AI agent. Think, the sort of chat model that you might use on your computer or phone to ask what the weather is going to be in Houston or what you can do with things in your pantry, but focus that on questions related to access to care, billing and payment of your health insurance, what you should do next after your doctor's told you that you should lose weight or that your cholesterol's too high. Another very interesting topic is people who are receiving new cancer or chronic disease diagnosis. What should I expect and what's my life going to look like? The agent in the center of that, into which you type the query, what do I do next, then speaks to other agents that are connected to different parts of the healthcare ecosystem: scheduling, insurance coverage, results, prescription refills, guidelines for care, how to make an appointment. And those communications happen in real time and then aggregate not only massive amounts of data, as happens in the traditional chat models, but multiple systems across multiple domains, and then returns those responses almost instantly. We are very highly focused here at Cognizant at multi-agentic AI, and one of the tools I saw looked at a very simple question. An employee said, "I'm in my third trimester. What do I need to do?" And the core agent then spoke to the HR system, the family leave system, the medical benefits system, and provided an answer that would have required navigating to seven or eight unique entities in our environment. Just imagine if you could do that for someone with heart failure or a new breast cancer diagnosis. I think it's going to be a massive lift for patients and clinicians who are caring for them.
This week, a open source reasoning model from a Chinese artificial intelligence startup, DeepSeek, sort of caught the tech industry a little off guard here, particularly in the US. Any thoughts on what that impact might be for healthcare at this point, or is it too early to tell?
I don't know that I can speak specifically to the DeepSeek asset that you're referring to, Marianne, but I can speak in sort of generalities. If in fact DeepSeek re represents an open source model that is more efficient in doing the LLM kinds of activities that we've been working on and demonstrating over the past 2 years, roughly, that's really great news because it says that we can get more for less technology. And an AI technology involves GPUs and energy consumption. On the other side, since we really do have some of the most powerful GPU technologies on the planet, focus being a company like NVIDIA, if we have a more efficient model, then we can get much farther down the road with those much more powerful tools. It was interesting to see the evolution of the announcement relating to DeepSeek, because you're right, at the beginning of the week, it caused a huge tectonic shift, or the perception that, this was a big disruptor. Now we're seeing, I think, a much more orderly and reasoned approach to it. And today, one of my cybersecurity feeds illuminated some very significant concerns about the DeepSeek cybersecurity infrastructure. So, if in the case it's incredibly efficient, if it's not incredibly secure, it's not going to be useful. And I think actually, from time to time, we're going to see these tectonic innovations come along because, quite frankly, this is the nature of the way AI works. Remember, in some organizations, AI is now writing 30, 40, 50% of the code and really serving as a force multiplier for software engineers and designers.
Any privacy or security issues that you see in terms of this technology, this DeepSeek technology potentially being used in American healthcare, being that, the American healthcare system is so regulated?
I think the quick answer, Marianne, is that at least based upon the news feeds today and the objective cybersecurity issues that were raised, I don't foresee that the current iteration of DeepSeek could be deployed based upon those security concerns within our healthcare system. However, since it is open source, it means that smart programmers and engineers can take that code and then modify it to potentially close those security issues while retaining what we presume are some of the efficiencies. But for right now, I see no opportunity for DeepSeek to be used in US healthcare, not until these very important questions are resolved.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Schell. I've been speaking to Dr. Scott Schell. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.